For March the 31st, 2022, this is Devoted Talks Games, episode 225. So, for the last couple of weeks, or the last week, I guess, I've been revisiting one of my long-running decks. I've talked about it here before. I called it Scoop. It's a historic list. It's a Lurrus pile. And for the longest time, it was a Mardu list. The base of the deck is the combo of the Giant Ox and the Colossal Plow. And since those are both two drops, I thought it was a good fit to create a Lurrus shell around it. And for the longest time, I've been also running Kroxa in there, since if you put a trigger on the stack when you cast Kroxa, you can equip the Colossal Plow if you have it in play before Kroxa is sacrificed. So that's a nice little bonus usage there, so you don't have to find the combo of the Ox and the Plow. You could find Kroxa and get in an early hit with the Plow. So that's the theory, at least. And I've had various degrees of success with it. Initially, I mean, the reason I named it Scoop is because so many people were just scooping early on when I got my combo going. Especially if you do the Colossal Plow and then the Kroxa on turn three, so they have to discard something, and then you go in for another six with the Plow, and you're getting three mana, so you can, for instance, pay for the Lurrus, or do some other nonsense, or maybe get the Ox into play if you have it in hand. But yeah, this is in various amounts of play, but it's been it's never been like a top tier deck for me. It's been like a middle range. It does well in gold, but that's about it. Kind of deck. Sometimes I've been able to play it further up, and it's been fairly successful, depending on what the meta is like at the moment. But yeah, I went back. I mean, this deck has seen many different variants with different cards. I'm wondering how far I can go back here, but yeah, this doesn't let me go back more than 16 days, it seems. So but yeah, it's in many different variations of what else is in the deck. Mostly I'll play Hateful Eidolon and a bunch of auras, like the minus one or minus X auras, like Deadweight and Mirror's Grasp. since I can just keep replaying those with Lurrus, that's a standard Lurrus deck. But here you have the Ox and the Colossal Plow to get some more heavy hitting. But what I found is that after the rebalancing in Alchemy of the Venture cards, it became interesting to take another look at those, and I found that a couple of them are really good fits for this deck, particularly Precipitous Drop, since it's another -2/-2 aura that also lets you venture into the dungeon when you play it. And then if you've completed a dungeon, it turns into -5/-5, so that's really helpful and helped me kill quite a lot of creatures. And quite often you'll get that, well, you'll play it so that you can play it, the creature is minused, and then you get in for your attack, and then as you're attacking, because this deck also plays four copies of Triumphant Adventure, which ventures when it attacks. So as you're attacking, you finish a dungeon, and all of a sudden the creature gets another -3/-3, and it's probably dead. Or at least is definitely not a threat anymore. So, that's the other venture card that I have in here. So I have four precipitous drops and four Triumphant Adventure. I have the Cloister Gargoyle for a while, but I didn't find that it was all that useful. Doesn't really become very good until after you finish the dungeon, so it becomes a 3/3 and has flying. So, quite often I felt that I would have liked something else in hand instead of those, so it's a good sign that you should probably replace them. So that's it for the ventures. I had for a while, I had a Dungeon Descent, I think it's called, the land that lets you venture as well. But it does require a legendary creature. And at the moment, the only legendary creature I have in the deck is the Lurrus, so you don't really get to use it all that much. And also, it dilutes the lands. I really need to keep the colored lands so I can control that as much as possible and make sure I have the colors that I need. So, anyway, what I did was I removed the Kroxa because I found that trying to get all the colors, the right combination of colors in at the right on the right turns was a lot of hassle, and quite often I wasn't able to play anything, or at least not what I wanted to on the turn that I wanted. So especially Kroxa, when you want to get it back, it requires a double black and double red, so that's even more of a hassle. And I was running the Triome for quite a while, the Mardu Triome. But in the end, I decided that I'm not going to bother with Kroxa. It's not as helpful as I'd like, and I'm going to try to focus on a more Orzhov deck. So this is a black and white deck in as almost completely, except for two cards, two copies of Valky, God of Lies, with the reverse of Tybalt, Cosmic Imposter, which costs five and a black and a red. So there is a splash of red, but I solved that through four copies of Forsaken Crossroads, which if I get them early, I'll play them on black because I mostly need black. And if I get one a little bit later when I feel I have enough black, I'll play it on red. So, and then there's also the possibility of getting a treasure through the venture into the dungeons, which you get on just the second venture in the one of the dungeons. Which is what I take mostly. So usually not a problem if I get up to seven mana and want to play Tybalt. Then that's good. And early on, Valky is always good to take a peek at your opponent's hand and hopefully grab a creature that they really need and that might even be helpful to you. So running through the list, besides, of course, Lurrus as the companion, and I have two copies of Deadweight for Hateful Eidolons, of course, and for Giant Oxes. Four Precipitous Drop, as I mentioned, and two Myr's Grasp. Then one of the new cards I just put in this last few days is Painful Bond. Really good new card from the Alchemy Kamigawa set. It's just uncommon, so it's easy to just stuff them in here. I have three copies. So it's an instant for one and a black. It reads, draw two cards, then cards in your hand with mana value three or greater. Perpetually gain. When you cast this spell, you lose one life. So really great way to get two cards at a very low cost. And really good in a Lurrus pile because pretty much all the cards in here are two or below mana cost. So very few are going to get that life cost addition. It's basically just the Lurrus, and I have four copies of Aghanim's Awakening as well, which come in real handy late in the game. When your opponent has killed your Lurrus and maybe your Ox and a Hateful Eidolon, and they think they're safe for a while, since your Colossal Plow can't be powered up. Well, along comes your Aghanim's Awakening. Back is your Lurrus, your Ox, and your Hateful Eidolon, and maybe you use that Lurrus to recast the Precipitous Drop from your graveyard or something like that, and then attack with your Plow. So, nice late game turnaround, maybe even game ender. Sometimes scooper. Sometimes people just scoop when that happens. So, yeah, next up, single copy of the Meetuk Massacre. I've been playing around with different cards. I had a Professor of Symbology and a Eye Twitch in here for a while. Just to be able to get some more cards from the sideboard, but it wasn't really worth it. I have so many other cards that are cheaper that do the same thing better. So I found that I'd rather have another Painful Bond, so I increased that to three from two, and then put in the Meetuk Massacre because not so much to clear the board, even though that can be useful, but usually just to decentivize the opponent from killing your creatures and such. And also help when you're killing their creatures. Another card from the Kamigawa Alchemy set is the Undercity Plunder. Another powerful rare card here. It's a sorcery for one and a black. And it reads, target opponent discards a card. Then they may discard an additional card. If they don't, conjure duplicate of a random card from their library into your hand. It perpetually gains. You may spend mana as though it were mana of any color to cast this spell. So basically turning the mana cost into colorless. Really handy since I'm producing a lot of mana with the Colossal Plow, hopefully. And great little way of getting your opponent to lose some of their valuable cards. I mean, having to discard a card and then choosing between yet another discard or giving you a random card. I found it's pretty much 50-50 before between them discarding another card and giving you the random card. And out of those 50, when I get a random card, I've had about half of that is a useful card. Sometimes they're really useful, and it's really nice to be able to cast it for whatever mana I have. So, pretty nice card. I have three copies of this, but I put two in this deck. I think that's enough for this deck. It's not really, it's kind of like a bonus feature. This isn't really a discard focused deck, but it's a nice way to be able to get another card to play as well. So two Valkyries, as I mentioned before, I think. Four Triumphant Adventurers, as I said. And here's another addition which I've added recently, which has turned out to be very useful, and that's the Rite of Oblivion. Really nice to be able to exile non-land permanents without any other stipulations there. You can do it on any non-land permanent, so anything but its lands then. Only problem is you have to sacrifice a permanent of your own. So in the Lurrus deck, that's feels a lot less painful usually, because you can get back whatever you're sacrificing. Very often I'll power up my plow and then sacrifice the ox when it's tapped to take care of, of something that would have killed the plow or something else, another threat, and then attack with the plow and get some more mana, and then maybe recast the ox with Lurrus if everything goes as planned. So that's a nice little way. And then, of course, since it has flashback for two and a white and a black, you can do the whole thing over again for an additional two mana the next turn. So those are really handy, really great way to take care of most threats. And I think it's very much down to those cards, and also going down to just two colors, that has made this deck so much better. So, yeah, this deck has really skyrocketed in the statistics, and it took me. I was kind of like puttering around in gold, not getting anywhere for most of this month. All the decks, the main decks that are doing well, I'm not really feeling them, and it's not all that interesting to play a deck that somebody else has made. I prefer to make my own. After making the changes to this deck, getting rid of the Kroxa and the dual lands, the Blood Crypt, the Sacred Foundry, and the Savai Triome, also allowed me to get three copies of Castle Lochwain in here, because I'm not as worried about finding the two colors. So I could splash in some more of those, and also put in a fourth Aghanim's Awakening. And Castle Lochwain has also been very useful in this deck, because if the games go long, if I'm attacking and just being chump blocked with my Colossal Plow, I could use that extra life that I'm gaining and the mana to use the Castle Lochwain to get another card to hand. So that's been really, really useful. So, yeah, quite almost immediately upon making this change, the deck performed a heck of a lot better. And it's interesting. I had at that point, I had a 66% win rate, 54 on play, and 78 on draw. So pretty interesting that on draw is doing a lot more, a lot better. This is kind of a slow starting deck. I'm usually not doing very much on turn one. Perhaps the Hateful Eidolon, or if I get the deadweight on a creature, that might happen. But otherwise, usually it's on turn two that I start doing things, since most of the cards in the deck are two drops. So that was really interesting, and started really moving up through gold into platinum. Like I said, I experimented with some lesson cards or learn cards. I put in the Eye Twitch, the Professor of Symbology. I also had a Poet's Quill for a while, removing those Cloister Gargoyles and Shadow Spear. But still wasn't 100% happy with that. So, as I kept playing, I put in the Undercity Plunder, as I said. And I think I also put in the Meter Massacre, removed the Ice Witch. Yeah, really fun deck to play. I haven't seen anybody play something similar, really. This took me from gold, or actually from platinum is where I was playing around with it, but that was before the changes in in gold. But then when I hit platinum, I wasn't getting anywhere. Then as soon as I made these changes, I just skyrocketed straight into diamond, and also moved up into tier 3 pretty quickly. Then I've been kind of stuck in there. I've moved up into tier 2 and dropped down a couple of times. So we're very close here to the end of the season, so I doubt I'll hit mythic, but still, it's been a lot of fun playing this deck, and looking forward to continuing on with it in the next season, I think, as well, because it just really doesn't get old, and I'm doing well. I'm doing really well against the tribal decks like elves and also the white aggro decks in historic. Slither decks are harder. If I have a good draw, I can manage them, and I do win every now and then. But I think my win loss is a little bit below 50, I'm guessing, or somewhere close to 50. But I'm really surprised how well I'm doing against control decks with this. I guess it's mostly down to the Rite of Oblivion, and they quite seldom have something to handle my the plow, and even if they kill the ox, sometimes I'll get it back, or I'll be able to play a few other creatures to power up the plow and get in there, and taking out the worst threats with the Rite of Oblivions, and just the value of being able to replay things and get them back with Aghanim's Awakening and then Lochwayne to keep filling my hand. And of course, making them discard cards is also really moves the shifts the control to my side quite a bit usually. But anyway, yeah, I think I'm gonna cut it off here. That's the Scoops, new version of Scoops, or Scoop. Okay, that's it for now.